What are you afraid of? Nothing. Ooh, nothing. I wish I were afraid of nothing. We can usually think of something pretty quickly. Now I have another question. What are you not afraid of that a lot of other people are? For instance, my husband was talking to my daughter this week and said, a lot of people are afraid to get up in front of other people to talk. Your mom isn't, though, right? So that's not a fear of mine, but probably for many of you, it would be terrifying to be up front here, right? Now, in a minute, I'm going to use our questions from our devotions each week to lead us through this passage and thinking about this passage. But before we do that, I want you to think about one interesting fact. Four of Jesus' disciples were from one occupation. What occupation was that? What did they do before they walked with Jesus? They were fishermen. If you are a fisherman, where do you do most of your work? In the water? On a boat, right? All right. What is it that you're probably not afraid of? Water. And not really storms that much. You have to be out in the rain and the wind quite a lot if you're a fisherman, right? They shouldn't be afraid of the storms, and yet four of them were in that boat with Jesus, and they were so afraid that they had to wake Jesus up, right? So the thing that they are usually not afraid of, they were afraid of on that day. We'll just think about that as we go forward. Now, Mark 4:35-41, you might want to get out your Bibles and follow along because I want to point out a few details as we go. So the first question we ask ourselves as we're reading scripture, what about Jesus? What does this teach me about Jesus? Now, before I answer that, I want you to look at some of the cool details in this story. And eventually we'll get to where we need to go. Verse 35. First of all, it starts with, that day when evening came. Now, those of you who've been here every week, you know that as we're going through Mark, we're following the story, right? And something happened just before this. It says, that day. What happened that day was all the rest of Mark 4. Jesus had been teaching the crowds all day long. All right, so he's picking up after a long day of teaching and being surrounded by crowds. So there's that detail. Now, verse 36, it says something interesting. Just as he was. It said they took Jesus just as he was in the boat. Like, they just took off. They didn't go back to the shore. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't they, right? They're going to take this journey across the lake. It'll probably take a couple hours. I'm trying to remember. I actually was in a boat on the Sea of Galilee many, many, many years ago and went from one side to the other. I think it takes about a couple of hours. And usually if you're going to take that trip, maybe you would take some water or food, especially at the end of a long day. Probably Jesus hadn't had a lot of breaks. But we're thinking that probably he was afraid if he went back to shore. He'd been teaching in the boat, and everybody else had been on the shore. If he'd gone back to shore, what would have happened? Mobbed by people, right? Everyone wants something from Jesus. And so instead, he just as he was, tired, exhausted from the day, and probably hungry and thirsty, they went across the lake. Then it says in verse 36, other boats followed. Do you see that? Other boats followed. Now, in all the times that I have read this story, I've never heard anyone say that there were other boats with him. It's always just been Jesus. Now, the first thought I had was, times haven't changed. Even in the Bible, there were paparazzi. Right? There were the people that just wanted to get another sight of Jesus. They wanted to follow him around, see everything that he was doing. Nothing new under the sun. And interestingly, that is a very specific detail in this story that really has nothing to do with the rest of the story. Just keep that in mind. Then you go to verse 37. It says the storm and the waves were big enough that the boat began to fill with water. Does that sound like someone who was in the boat telling you about that? Yeah, they knew, right? They knew. Here I was sitting in the boat and it was filling with water. That is a huge storm and waves. And then in verse 38, it says, Jesus was in the back of the boat, and where was his head? On a cushion. A very specific detail, right? It doesn't just say Jesus was asleep. He was asleep with his head on a cushion. Now, why are all of these details interesting? Well, first of all, any good writer adds details so that you can get a picture in your head, right? That's what makes good writing, and Kay is laughing because I was just talking in homework help this week to girls who were writing essays and telling them you need to add details so that people can see the picture. So first we learn that Mark is just a really good storyteller, right? He's adding the stories. But beyond that, it is proof that this was an eyewitness account. Mark was there in the boat. And he saw all the details of this happen. Now, that may not seem important to you, except it gets important in a minute. What comes next that we just heard is so out of the realm of the normal that it's important to know that the person who was in the boat telling this story, he was there all along. He was catching all of these details. We want to know that the person that is telling this crazy story, unlike anything we've ever heard, he was there and saw it with his own eyes. Who is Jesus? He is the one who is calmly in charge. He was asleep in a boat in a big enough storm that even the fishermen were afraid. And yet Jesus was calmly in charge. He could tell the wind and the waves what to do. I want you to think about this for a moment. The disciples were with him in this boat. And they had been with him for many, many days now. And when they were with him, he was really just kind of a great guy that they knew. They were amazed by him. He was a great teacher, right? But they weren't so in awe or afraid of him that they were like cowering at his feet, following him all of the time. They're just walking with Jesus. He's a great teacher. They're with him. They're not saying yes sir, no sir 24 hours a day. He seemed wise and helpful and a good teacher to follow. They had seen him do healings, but that didn't make them afraid. Because, right, he was using something and he was doing good. I was kind of thinking they were probably thinking of him much like we might think of a friend who is a surgeon or a doctor. We're amazed that they can heal people, right? That they can do this work. But we're not afraid of them. It's just a person who has this special skill or ability. In most respect, he just seemed like a good man. But then, in this story, Jesus tells the wind and the waves to be still, quiet. And they obeyed him. There is healing power, and then there's power over the natural world, over the forces of nature. Mark's purpose in writing this book about Jesus is to show us who Jesus is. And here is another turning point in the story, a step up in the intensity. The disciples, it says, are now terrified of Jesus. Not in the way of being terrified of a monster who would hurt them, rather in the way of being terrified of more power than one could ever imagine a person would have. What do we learn about Jesus? He's a great man. He teaches well. He still needed his sleep. People wanted to be around him, but he also has power. Plain and simple. His words alone, peace, be still, have power to stop a storm. This is more power than any of us have ever seen. A few years ago, my husband and I visited Versailles in France. It's a huge mansion built by now a dead king who wanted to convince everyone that he was a god. The sun god, in fact, he called himself Louis XIV, right? The sun god. And one of the ways he tried to convince everyone he was a god is he had a deal with his engineers and his servants. There were these fountains all lined up across the back of his mansion. And when an important person came to visit, he would take them on a walk along the back of the mansion. And as they walked, he had this deal arranged where his servants would go ahead of him and turn on the fountains just as he walked by, to show that he was God over the waters. Except he wasn't, was he? It was a trick. He wasn't a God and he didn't control the forces of nature. But Jesus, there was no planning for when a storm was going to come up on the Sea of Galilee, right? He has power over nature. The minor details in Mark's gospel help us to see the reality of a major Jesus who controls even nature. That's who Jesus is. And people, what about people? His disciples were always just a little bit clueless, weren't they? One step behind Jesus and trying to catch up. Sometimes not getting it at all. And you know, that also adds to the truthfulness of the Gospel of Mark. Because usually when you're writing about yourself, you want to tell all the good things, right? Social media, we want to have our best pictures, right? And in Mark, over and over again, Mark is honest and says, "We were terrified." And he even includes Jesus' rebuke to them. "Don't you know who I am? Don't you have faith?" So this honesty again shows this is a true story. But like so many of us, so much of the time, we just don't quite understand what Jesus is doing and quite who he is. But when we read this story, we're in good company, right? With the disciples of Jesus. Which leads us to our so what question. So what is the third question. Now what? Anybody here have storms in your life? Yeah? Anybody here needs some peace? Yeah? Here are two perspectives from this story that lead to peace. In the first, we learn from Jesus to trust God's goodness and power. Jesus was asleep in the boat in a storm. Now, some people will say that Jesus was exhausted. He had just taught all day. And if you wonder if that makes you tired, I'll tell you a secret of almost all pastors. They take a Sunday afternoon nap because it's tiring to teach. Yes. But I think that Jesus did sleep because he was tired, but also because he knew what he was doing was what he came here to do, that his work was not over, that God was in control, that his story wasn't done. He was living out what it says in Psalm 4:8, "I will lie down and fall asleep in peace because you alone, Lord, let me live in safety." He was practicing that verse right in front of his disciples. We also learn from this story to turn our eyes to Jesus. To turn our eyes to Jesus and away from the storm. To turn to the one saying, "Peace, be still." This is one of the reasons I love the painting that you're going to see up on the screen, I think. There is a print of it here, and it's on the front of all of your bulletins. So you can pull out your bulletin. And I love this picture. Several years ago, I read a book about using art to learn how to study and think about Scripture in a different way by seeing how an artist depicts something in Scripture. And I was introduced to this artist. His name is James Hay Key. He's a Chinese artist. And many, many of his artworks are actually paintings of Bible stories. They're amazing. So let's see how this artwork can help us to see this idea of the story of turning our eyes on Jesus. One of the first things that I see every time I look at this picture is the three faces turned up. That's one of the first places that my eyes go to. And what are they looking up at? Jesus. It reminds me of where I can look. And then, once I look at them, my eyes are turned to Jesus in this picture, right? As he's standing there. I love how solid Jesus looks in this picture. He looks strong, right? He doesn't look like he could break easily. And also, what does the shape of Jesus look like? The cross. When I see Jesus standing there, I see the cross. And what does the cross represent to those of us who follow Jesus? His greatest act of love for us, laying down his life for us. So when I look at Jesus in this picture, I see his strength and his love, all in one. And then I look at something interesting, which you may not have noticed yet. Look at Jesus' hands. Do they look big or small? Really big compared to the size of his body, don't they? And do you know what I think of? Some of the kids in this room will know this. The first thing I thought of when I saw his big hands was the song that I taught my children when they were little, and I love to teach other children. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. And do you know what the other two verses are? He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. How cool is that? And he's got you and me, brother, you and me, sister, in his hands. So this small artwork, right? It's showing me all these truths about where I can look and where the truth is. There are also two primary directions to look in this picture. You can look down. Look at the bottom of it. What do you see at the bottom? Water. The waves, right? That's the circles, the chaos, the turmoil, the storm. Or you can look up. And when you look up, what do you see above Jesus' head? A dove. What is a dove a symbol of? Peace, right? We have a choice. Moment by moment, day after day, will we look down at the chaos or look up at Jesus? Jesus, in verse 40, said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Who is Jesus to us? What do we have faith in? What are we afraid of? If Jesus is in the boat with us, like he was in the boat with the disciples, we don't have to be afraid. He's right here. You'll notice on the bulletin that there's a little dotted line and a pair of scissors here. I hope that you will take this picture home, that you'll cut it out, and you'll put it up somewhere to be a reminder that Jesus is with you in your storm this week. Put it in your car if that's where you spend a lot of time. We talked in Sunday school class today, maybe put it by your bed. If nighttime is the most worried, anxious time for you, or you wake up in the middle of the night and your head wants to go into a storm, This is a place for you. It says right at the bottom, peace be still. A place for you to focus your mind and your heart on the truth of who Jesus is and that he's with you. I want to tell you just one story as we close today, and then we're going to have some time of peace as we end service. Many years ago, I did a ministry out of this church when I was in college called Street Beat. And we had lots of city teenagers, some who were involved in gangs, and it was lots of troubled kids who came here on Thursday nights. And when you do a program and it's kind of fun, more kids come and they invite friends. And as also happens in a lot of homes that are troubled, people move around a lot. And one of the kids who'd been coming, he moved from the neighborhood we had been picking up to another neighborhood, a little different side of town. And he had been kind of involved with a light gang on one side. And then when he moved across town, he started hanging around with another gang. And this was a problem, right? You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to transfer from one group to another in that way. And over the course of a couple of weeks, the tension started to rise as he was still coming and bringing a couple of his new friends, and the old group was still coming. Until one night, it already was tense as everyone got there, and about a half an hour into the program, something happened. Something didn't go right in a gang. And one kid took off after the other kid and went racing up the stairs to beat up the other kid. And as these things often unfold very fast, like a storm, all of the kids raced up the stairs to follow and see what was going to happen. And by the time I got to the top of the stairs, right at this door at the back of the church, I stood out on the back step, and there in the parking lot is 2 to 5 kids, I can't even remember because it was so chaotic, kind of beating at each other, and everyone else standing in a tight circle around, and it was chaos. And I stood there and said, "Lord, I don't know what to do." Friends, sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes God calms us. And in that moment, unlike anything I've ever felt before, this peace washed over me. And it was as if Jesus said, "Peace, be still. I'm right here." And within a matter of a very short few minutes, my bodyguard, Darren — I always called him my bodyguard, he was like twice as big as I was and as wide, but gentler than any person I had ever met up until that time — he had walked into the middle of the group, pulled the 2 guys that were kind of getting each other apart from each other. All the rest of the volunteers jumped in. We pulled kids and got them on separate vans, and we're gone within 5 to 10 minutes. And no one was seriously hurt. It all dissipated. That was the last night of that program. Our church felt a little uncomfortable about it and felt like we were in over our heads. And that was a very discouraging time for me in many ways. But often when we look back, we see the lessons God has for us. And one of those was that I got to experience God's peace that passes understanding. I cannot explain how it was that it was like that dove of the Holy Spirit came over me and just gave me what I needed to handle that situation. Friends, sometimes God will calm the storm for you, and sometimes he'll calm the storm in you. But we have to receive that, right? We have to receive it. I don't know what storms are raging around and inside each of you today. Some of you, I know, we've talked. There are storms in your lives. But I know Jesus, who is peace and who is power, right? And what I've found is that Jesus truly is with me everywhere and right here. So as we close today, I want to give you some time to just sit in the presence of Jesus. Eric is going to come out and sing. You can sing with him. You can study the artwork on the screen or on your paper for a few more moments. You can pray. You can come to the altar and pray. You can turn and make your seat an altar to pray. You can sit. But I'm giving you a gift. When you go home, you're going to get on your screens, you're going to get on your phones, you're going to talk to people, and you're going to enter the chaos again. Your gift is for a few moments here. Will you just be with Jesus at peace? Let his peace wash over you. In a few minutes, I'll pray to close. Lord, may that song be our prayer. Speak truth over us. Lord, for every individual storm represented in this room, would you say, peace, be still. Even if it is the storm inside of someone's heart, Lord, would you speak peace to them today? Lord, I think of those who can't be with us today, those who have gone through surgery this week, those who are not feeling well, those who are afraid to be here. Lord, would you speak peace over them today, this week? And Lord, for the many people around us who are caught in the chaos, would you make us bearers of your peace? Would you help us to go out and bring your peace to this world? Would you show us the one person that we can share with this week? That we would be peace givers, peace bringers. May we walk with you in peace. May we walk with you in truth. May we have the power to do what you've asked us to do, called us to do, show us to do. We ask all of this in Jesus' powerful and loving name. Amen. If there are any bulletins left, I encourage you to take one with you. And if you have a friend who you know you could pass that piece along to, cut it out and give it to them. Tell them the story of Jesus calming the storm. Be an encourager to them this week. Maybe pass yours along. There aren't going to be enough for all of you to grab one. But we'd love to have Jesus' peace to go out into our community. Would you stand with me to receive your benediction? May God show you this week how he holds you in his hands. May Jesus speak peace, be still over you every day. And may the Spirit fill you with the peace that passes understanding, and may you share that peace with all those you meet. Amen. Amen.